Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means it's time for another awesome episode of Stunt Tracks with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and the one and only Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Weather's starting to get cold again, and the wind is up, but we're nice and snug inside the room right now.
I hear that. It's starting to, temperature's starting to plummet here in Vermont. I think the wind is really whipping outside right now. Of course, it's dark because of the time change. So I think it's going to be snowing pretty soon, actually. It feels that cold.
Yeah. Well, like I say, this morning I had my little Pekingese outside and I was waiting for him to take off across the yard. Poor little guy. He was getting windswept.
Well, listen, before we get too far, because we always seem to talk about Planet of the Apes, I wanted to get our Planet of the Apes conversation out of the way. And this week is Kim Hunter's birthday, and we all know who Kim Hunter played, right?
Oh, no, I missed that her birthday was this week, but
she was in the Planet of the Apes movie.
Right.
So I just wanted to make sure we got our Planet of the Apes connection in there right at the start.
Well, that's it. We'll have to do a show on prosthetics and do the connection between Star Trek and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, we always. You guys have ever listened to the show in the past? Regardless of what Leslie and I talk about, for some reason, there's always a Planet of the Apes thing going on. I haven't figured it out yet, but so there's our Planet of the Apes connection out of the way. So tonight we're going to talk about becoming Torres, and as a lot of you may or may not know, particularly our listeners over at Odyssey Radio, amongst the many things that Leslie has done, she got to be a stunt double for B'Elanna Torres on Star Trek Voyager, and we're going to talk about that tonight and how she became Torres. So you guys want to stay tuned, you want to hang in there, we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Our studio line is open. We are live every Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're listening right now, you can call 646-668-2433, and we'll get you right on the air, and you can ask Leslie a question, anything you want about Planet of the Apes or Nightmare on Elm Street or Star Trek. You can give us a call at 646-668-2433, and we'll get you right on the air. We would love to hear from you. Also, you can visit Leslie at the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. If you have an idea for a show or a topic, just go on over there and drop us a little message on the Facebook page, and we'll take it under consideration. So please check that out if you can. So, anyways, Leslie, let's divert ourselves back here. Before we start talking too much about B'Elanna Taurus and Star Trek Voyager, on Thursday nights on Trek Talking, we review the latest Star Trek episodes, which in this case is Star Trek Discovery, and we'll be talking about Episode 5, Die Trying. And so I wanted to get your opinion on that because I won't get to talk to you again until next Sunday, and that'll be Episode 6. So what did you think about the latest episode of Star Trek Discovery?
I thought it wasn't as good as the previous one, but I thought it was good. I'm really bad at pronouncing names, but the one thing that really got me was, so they went to the Federation, or what they think is the Federation, and they're being interrogated, and most of them are just giving answers. But the security guard, how do you pronounce that name? Nan?
Yes. Nan. Yep. Like the Wrath of Khan.
To me, she's the only one that, to me, answered a question or the question correctly. She gave her serial number and her rank. I mean, I wouldn't... You've gone almost 1,000 years in the future, and you're just going to start blabbing things out. You know, I feel she was the correct one to say, you know, I'm security officer. This is my number. Blah blah blah. I mean, you don't just start telling people your life story or what's been going on with the ship. That so I had a problem with that part. Or I appreciate that the security officer did answer the question that way. But
Speaking of interrogations, what did you think about the guy with the glasses and the suit and his interaction with Georgia?
I always get confused about glasses in the future. I mean, I think that got asked in the episode is like, why are you wearing glasses? I mean, in the future, it seems like you wouldn't have to wear glasses. So I don't know. I'm not completely comfortable with the group that's calling themselves the Federation.
And
I think Giorgio isn't completely. she knows something's up. Now she may be using it to her advantage, but she knows something's not quite right.
I think that what we're seeing. I think what we're seeing here is the birth or the continuation of Section 31 and the Section 31 show that Michelle Yeoh is going to be heading up next year. I think that's what they're laying the groundwork for. At least that's the way I took it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that I don't know if the Federation truly is the Federation or is it, you know, as you say, Section 31. I mean, no one has really made it 100% clear who they are.
No.
I mean, again, that's why I like the way the security guard answered the question and couldn't believe that everybody else is just pouring their guts out and who knows, they're giving away secret information that was supposed to be quiet.
And now they all know about it now, and it was a bit strange that they didn't know about control. I did think that was strange.
Yeah, well, that's like you say. There were too many holes, or there was. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a suspicious person. I'm like Giorgio or Nan or whatever. Is that just because you said you're somebody, you haven't proved it to me yet?
Well, I think that they wouldn't know about Discovery when Admiral Vance says that there's no records of the Discovery, there's no records of the secret mission. And that part would be true because Spock and Pike and Number One and Ash erased all records of Discovery, and they all got together and agreed to the lie that they were destroyed in that explosion. And that was the official record they filed with Starfleet. That part I could believe, but he said there's no record of that. That I believe. However, the part about not knowing about Control, when Control was going to wipe out all life in the known universe, I would have thought that somebody would have mentioned that to Starfleet. So that was strange, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, well, oh boy, maybe you'll appreciate this, is that I'm going to jump over to Planet of the Apes, is that, the ape culture was taught that they were always around, but until they did the digging and they found the doll, and the doll says mama, I mean, now all of history has changed.
Right.
And that's what I think has happened. I mean, they're giving you one history, and the question is there really a second history that they're keeping quiet about?
Yeah, there's definitely something going on there, and we're going to have to wait to find out. Now, there was something that I thought that in this episode that was really nice, which I wanted to get your input on. Maybe you didn't catch it or not, because it was pretty quick, but it was there. What did you think about the USS Nog?
I don't know. All I know was I saw something on Facebook, and well, I thought it was the other way around, that they didn't honor a USS Nog. Did they? Was there a USS Nog? I know that they talk about Voyager, that they see Voyager.
Nope, there was a USS Nog, and I forgot the registry number, 325070, I think it was, because it was the 32nd century. He died when he was 50, and nobody can figure out what the 70 is in reference to. But if you look on Facebook, you'll see somebody did a screenshot of the ship, and you can actually see a diagram of what the ship actually looks like. And they were just paying an homage to the great Aaron Eisenberg, who died, was it last year or the year before, who played Nog on Deep Space Nine.
Right.
And I thought that was really – I was happy that they put that in there. I thought that was really classy of them to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Aaron was a big loss. That was, well, I know this sounds a little strange, but especially when someone is younger than me and all of a sudden they're gone. They're here one day and they're gone the next. I mean, I was talking with Dunfriend Tom. I mean, it's like, You're on film. I mean, you can watch the television and you can see a person or a character or something like that. And many of the people that we work with are either gone away or aren't working anymore. And I don't know. It's a different feeling, I guess, when you've worked on a show as opposed to, I guess, a fan who, you know, watches original Star Trek all the way to Enterprise. It was kind of interesting because someone suggested that they should do a movie with like all these different characters from original Star Trek to Enterprise or something like that. And it's like, I mean, William Shatner, the actor, is 90 years old. I mean, I don't know. I wonder sometimes if fans get kind of stuck in the episode and they don't realize that these people are 50, 60 years older than, you know, what you're watching on television.
Yeah, there are some fans out there, I've run into them, that have trouble differentiating between reality and TV. They're out there. But the majority of the fans are pretty cool, though. I did want to ask you, though, one more thing. You kind of already touched on it, but this is a good segue into what we're going to talk about tonight. And I think on each show, I think we'll continue. At the start of each show, we'll just talk a little bit about the newest episode of Star Trek so people can hear your opinion, because they're going to hear mine on Thursday night. But this way people can hear your opinion on it. If that's something you want to keep doing, we can keep doing that, definitely. We did it with Lower Decks. I thought it was fun, if you don't mind.
Oh, but, okay. I don't know. I'm on a caption call phone, so I'm half listening, half reading to what you're saying to me. I mean, doing stunts on Voyager, doing stunts on Deep Space Nine, I mean, it was fun. It was. I'm an original Trekkie. I mean, I think I said this last week. I went to the second Star Trek convention that was held in New York City. No one had even in, I mean, you know, fan conventions didn't exist until Star Trek, you know, started these conventions. So I went to the second one. I mean, the dream of working on Star Trek, it wasn't. To me, when I went out to California to be a stunt woman, it wasn't a possibility because there was original Star Trek and that was it, you know, and it ended in the 60s and I didn't get out to California until the 70s. So never in my mind, hope, dreams did I ever think that I was going to work on Star Trek. But then one of the stunt guys that we went to this gym in Santa Monica ended up being the stunt coordinator for the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. And he was loyal to the people that used to go to the gym. Well, I was in New York during the Next Generation, but I came back out to California during Deep Space Nine and Voyager, and he hired me. And I worked on Deep Space Nine, and then they started doing Voyager, and, you know, I don't even know what he said. You know, I have a job for you, and I was stunt doubling a character named B'Elanna Torres. You know, again, it's like when you ask questions of Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, it's the beginning of Voyager. I mean, you know, what is really a B'Elanna Torres?
Did you know at the time that she was a half Klingon, half human? Did you at least know that much about the character, or were you going in stone cold?
That's a good question. Again, you're talking like Is it 40 years or is it only 30 years? Maybe it's only 30 years. But you're talking about 30 years ago. I'm trying, I assume that I must have seen an episode, so I knew of this character, but again, you know, the first couple of seasons of a television show, you really haven't developed the character. I mean, the one thing that I remember was Janeway, is her original hairdo. On the set, we used to call her Helmet Head. I don't know if the fans did that or not, but, I mean, you know, the hairdo that they gave her was, it was just awful. I mean, they finally, maybe by the second or third season, they changed her hairdo, but, you know.
Yeah, she, yeah, and that's actually, she wasn't actually the first choice for captain either. Rene Bourgeois actually was the first captain. She didn't even make it through
right.
the first episode. She quit.
Right.
And then
didn't they even start to film with Yvette and during the filming of, I don't know if it was pilot or or first episode or something, all of a sudden she changed her mind and she said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. If you go on YouTube, there's some footage of her in the first episode with Tom Paris that was floating around. And I'm actually glad that they went with, you know, with Kate Mulgrew, because she was a much older captain than Janeway. Well, the Janeway you were used to. And she didn't seem very comfortable saying all the lines either. So I'm glad they changed her, actually.
Well, I wonder, then again, I don't know. I think Kate Mulgrew did Mrs. Columbo before she did Voyager, if I remember correctly. Mrs. Columbo was, I don't even know if it lasted a season, but, you know, that was, to me, she was film. She wasn't necessarily television, or maybe I just didn't watch any television shows she was in. I mean, it is interesting there that people that do film don't necessarily do television. It's not that easy a crossover for some of the actors.
No, and I did see her in Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. That was a movie. And most recently, I saw her in that excellent series called Orange is the New Black. She played Red, the Russian person that ran the kitchen. Great character. And, of course, now she's going to be back as Janeway on the animated series on Nickelodeon called Star Trek Prodigy. So I'm excited about that. But listen, for our listeners at Odyssey Radio, we have to take our first commercial break, our only commercial break, actually, because this show is only an hour. So we're going to take a commercial break right now for you guys over there at Odyssey Radio. Don't worry, Leslie and I aren't going anywhere. We'll be right back after you guys listen to a few quick commercial breaks. But for our listeners here on YouTube or on our or the other listeners, we're going to listen to a quick promo, and then we'll be right back in 30 seconds. Don't touch that dial.
Trek Talking. All things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday nights, 7:30 to 9:30. All hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking, boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
And we're back with the Leslie Hoffman, yours truly, Uncle Jim, and we're talking about becoming Torres on Star Trek Voyager. So, Leslie, once you landed the role, did you talk with Roxanne Biggs Dawson at all about this character and her nuances, or was she, you know, you didn't really have any communication with her about the character?
No, when you're hired as a stunt double, I'm going to take it back. It happened only once, is when I doubled, lost her name. She's famous for City on the Edge of Forever. She was on Dallas. And I doubled her in Flintstones, Viva Rock Vegas. Is it Julie somebody?
Joan Collins?
Oh, Joan, right. She is the only actress that actually she had somebody call me over to where she was sitting, and she said, well, we did the stunt once, and she actually gave me directions on what her character would do, and that is the only time that I had an extra or that I had an actress tell me, you know, could you do the stunt this way because this is what my character would do. Usually when you're a stunt double, the actress may not even be on the set. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. You know, it's a fight scene, and like in Day of Honor, Dennis Matalone asked Tom Morga and I to work out a fight, and the director came over, and we showed him the fight. Dennis wasn't on the set at that moment, and he thought the fight was great. And then Dennis came on the set, and we showed him the fight. And, I mean, he gave us one suggestion, but Tom and I put together is what they filmed.
Now, why don't you walk us through how you actually became Torres, right from your uniform fitting to the Klingon makeup to your wig, your communicator, you know, to tell the fans a little bit, talk a little bit about how that happened and what that was like.
You know, when you're, well, whether you're being yourself, whether you're stunt doubling, well, in this case, because you were stunt doubling, I had to go in for a specific fitting to have the exact same costume made that would fit me. You know, it has happened in really low budget films and things like that where they'll have the actress undress and you put on their clothes, but I mean, Star Trek was high budget enough that I had my own set of wardrobe and Roxanne had her own set of wardrobe. Basically you come to the set, You go to your dressing room, you drop off your stunt bag, you put on the T-shirt, you go over to hairdressing first because they pin up your hair and put a wig cap on you, and then you go over to makeup and they put prosthetics, they glue the prosthetics onto you. Then you go back over to hair Well, I forget if they also do the makeup, you know, like lipstick or anything like that. Then you go back over to hair, and that's when they put the wig on you. And with the Klingons, eyebrows are considered hair. So it wasn't makeup that would put the eyebrows on me. It was the hair department that would put the eyebrows on me. And then the other interesting thing is I used to get the previous year's wig that was made for Roxanne, and those wigs cost about $6,000. So even secondhand wig was a $6,000 wig.
Wow. And
yeah,
Leslie,
I mean,
how long did it take for them to turn you into Balana Torres, the whole procedure? How long were you in the chair?
To just do facial makeup was probably an hour and a half back and forth between hair and makeup. You know, and then I had to get dressed in the outfit. But there was an episode called Blood Fever when she got Pon Farr. And they decided that she, this repelling suit she was wearing, she was going to take it down. And underneath the repelling suit, she had this, like, sleeveless T-shirt. And believe it or not, Hollywood is a union town. Believe it or not, to have my arms darkened or, you know, painted or made up for her, for being Balana, took a different department. The people that did the face makeup are not allowed to spray my arms. So I had to go to the dressing room. And this other department came in with one of those, I don't know. I mean, it's a spray can, you know. It's one of those air-powered, has that little bucket underneath it, and they're busy spraying my arms. So that one took a little longer. And then you know, that's so you know it takes an hour and a half to do this to get into the makeup, and then you wait around most of the day, and they finally get to your stunt. But then it can take half an hour to 45 minutes to have the makeup or the prosthetics removed, because if they can save them, they'll use them again, which actually just came to mind in my head, is that, boy, if we were talking about the COVID virus, if we were talking about 2020, I bet they would make you throw those pieces away nowadays.
I'd be taking them home, selling them on eBay. So, Leslie, do you actually have a Starfleet uniform? They fit you for your own Starfleet uniform?
It's really sad. I didn't realize that they were selling all the wardrobe, and maybe by the third or fourth week I found out about it, and so I started looking, and yes, I have the repelling suit from Voyager, and it has a tag in it, and it says Leslie Hoffman. Unfortunately, the boots that I was wearing did not come along with the suit, so I don't have the boots that, you know, would have completed the suit. And then also, I doubled the character Mila on Deep Space Nine, and I have her dress. But the Starfleet uniform that I wore to double Torres, like I say, they must have sold it in the first two or three weeks. So I wish I had a Starfleet uniform, but I don't. But I'm glad I have a repelling one.
But you do you do have a backlist, though. You have a backlist.
Wait a minute. Waiting for. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have the repelling suit,
left.
And I do have the Mila suit.
Yes, you have a bat. Laugh.
Oh, bat. Like, I wish you could read what the op. I shouldn't say that. The operator will get mad at me and stop captioning call. Yes, I have several bat lifts and several other items that from Star Trek, because we used to do conventions. And the prop master, his name was Joe Longo. I asked him if he had, any Star Trek weapons that we could use in a live stunt show. And, you know, these were ones that I'll call it beyond repair, you know, like a tip was missing or something like that. But yes, I do have several bat lifts and other weapons from the Star Trek series.
That is really cool because I got to see one of the bat lifts that you had up at Ticonderoga, and I thought it was pretty cool. A real bat lift, a real fake one.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorite stories about bat lifts was I was doing a Star Trek convention, and this guy comes up to me with a stainless steel. He's cut out a bat lift out of stainless steel. And I'm sitting at the table, and he wants me to autograph his bat lift. I shouldn't say it this way, but this is the way it felt, is that he shoves a stainless steel bat lift, points facing towards me, you know, onto the table. I'm going to get shish kebab by this. You know, it's like, woo! Okay, I'll sign it. Don't kill me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no.
Yep. Playing Balan and Boris.
I was going to say,
did you ever get to fly the Voyager?
Okay. This operator isn't writing anything down. Did I ever?
To fly the Voyager.
Oh, well, not. No, I take that back. I did fly the Voyager as B'Elanna Torres, and as usual, I blew up the panel. It was the episode where Kes was going back and forth in time. The episode was called Before and After, and Janeway and Torres were at the panel, and of course it blows up. And the stunt woman and the other stunt woman and I go flying backwards and hit the ground, and the actress Kes comes running up to us, and she's dead, or they're dead. I don't know. I die a lot. But yeah, no. Don't get me near any panels on. On the Defiant, on Voyager, the Valiant, the Parallel Universe, I'll blow up a shirt. But if you see me, you know there's going to be an explosion.
Oh, boy. So, Leslie, I mean, I'm a huge Klingon fan, and I like to dress up as a Klingon. I cosplay as a Klingon. It's a lot of fun. What's the favorite alien that you've ever got to play on Star Trek, or what alien would you have liked to play that you never got the chance to play on Star Trek?
I don't know. This sounds interesting, is that I think I would have liked to been a full-blooded Klingon. You know, got to wear the pointy teeth and things like that. Torres was only half Klingon, half human, so her teeth were the normal things. Her hairpiece and the prosthetics weren't as pronounced as, let's say, the Duras sisters. Oh, and and the costumes that the Duras sisters wore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you don't
that
have
was
one of those,
quite different.
Do you?
Yeah, that those dresses were a lot more revealing than, well, like you say, Torres usually was dressed up as Starfleet, or like you say, I was in a repelling outfit, but no, they didn't have a hole in the midriff. But I'm only like 5 foot three and three quarters. I guess I could have been a Ferengi. I'm not sure if I would have been too tall or whether or not they would use me or not. But I've been a Romulan. I've been there is no such thing as a female Jem'Hadar. I mean, you know, Tom basically got to play every alien there was, except a Ferengi, because he's 6 foot one. He'd be the world. He'd be a Ferengi with a thyroid condition. So I don't know. I really can't think of like I say, I think I would have loved to have been maybe a 100% Klingon, which I never was. But you know, I've been a Bajoran, like I said, been Bajoran, Romulan, Cardassian. So I got to play a lot of the female aliens. I talked about the that one episode on Voyager called Memorial, and I asked what this character's, or you know, what species this character was, and they said Naken. I go, Naked? I'm playing a naked alien? No, it's Naken. So I've even played aliens that, you know, are not, you know, were guest stars for that week.
Leslie, what was your favorite episode on Star Trek Voyager?
I would say definitely Day of Honor. At that time, Roxanne was either 9 or 10 weeks pregnant, and they wouldn't let her do the fight. They intercut the fight with the actress, and they just didn't want her, you know, bouncing around or anything. So if you were to watch Day of Honor, you see the Klingons hitting her with what's called the pain stick, but then at a certain point you see them hit me with the pain stick, and that starts the fight between myself and the Klingon, which was Tom Morga, and we did the fight completely through ourselves. There was no cut to it. The cameraman was wearing this item called a Steadicam, which allows the camera to kind of float, so you don't get any jerky movements out of it. So as Tom and I are fighting, he glances down. I throw Tom to the ground. And the camera glances down at the Klingon laying on the ground. I step out of the scene, and Roxanne steps into the scene, and the cameraman swings the camera, and here all of a sudden is Roxanne Dawson, and she says something like, "Hey, you know, I've decided I've changed my mind." So there's no cut in that. I mean, like I say, from the point of me being hit with the pain stick to the point of Roxanne saying, you know, I've changed my mind, and she walks off set, and I think they go to commercial at that point. That is one piece of film, and that's very, very, very rare. I mean, I did a fight in Blood Fever, and you'll see where they intercut Roxanne, you know, doing sort of a throw or a hit. But then when Vorak hits her, the Vulcan hits her with a stick or something, and she falls to the ground, you see me. So I guess I'm extremely proud of all the Star Treks. I'm extremely proud of the fight in Day of Honor.
Yeah, that sounds pretty exciting, actually.
They didn't allow human women to throw punches, which is so different in Discovery. I'm so thrilled in Discovery that you know, the women are beating up the men are beating up the women. I mean, in other words, it's now all of a sudden in Discovery, it's okay that a woman could possibly beat up a man, or you know, that I know it sounds funny, but like you say, is that a woman can defend herself. Yeah, she might get hit, but she still can defend herself. During TOS, TNG, DS9, Voyager, and Enterprise, if it was a human woman, she might take a gun or a lead pipe and hit the person, but she could not throw a punch because for some reason they just felt that a woman wouldn't have that much power in a punch to hurt a guy.
Well, that's definitely changed today. That I can tell you that much. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoy the fight scenes on Discovery.
So let me see. We have just about 5 minutes left. Let me ask you a question about Discovery, the last episode. What did you think about seeing the Voyager J show up on screen?
Uh-oh.
Voyager J.
You know, it's it's been so long that I hate to say that I'm not that trivia knowledgeable anymore about these things. So well, like you say, that's why I love Lower Decks, the animated series, is that a lot of the jokes were more about the original Star Trek series, which that's the trivia I know, and you know, some Next Generation. Discovery, for them to show an older ship or something, I'm just not up. Sorry about it. I'm just not up on it.
Well, Leslie, it's just about time for us to say goodnight, if you believe that or not. The shows just fly right by. But they're fun as always. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week yet, but we will be back. Same bat time, same bat channel, Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here. We will be live. Our phone number is 646-668-2433. So if you guys are listening on iHeartRadio or iTunes or Stitcher or any other platform, head on over to Blog Talk Radio /TrekTalkin'. And listen to us on Sunday night live and give us a call at 646-668-2433. And please, please visit the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page and say hello. Leslie, we'll get right back to you. We check the board frequently. And if you have an idea for a show or a topic that you'd like to have us address, please mention it over there and we'll take it under advisement. We're currently working on an idea that a fan mentioned to us, and I'm trying to figure out the logistics of how to make it work. But if you have an idea, please head on over there, mention it, and Leslie and I will take it under advisement, and more than likely, we'll probably do it if we can make it work. So please do that. And make sure you tune in on Thursday night to Trek Talking and Beyond with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and my most excellent co-hosts, Eric and Charles. And we'll be talking about Star Trek Discovery, Episode 5, Die Trying. We're also going to be talking about The Mandalorian, Chapter 3, I believe it's Chapter 3, The Passenger. So you guys want to check that out as well. And I'm your host, Uncle Jim. And with me, as usual, is Leslie Hoffman. So I want to say thank you to Leslie Hoffman for joining us tonight, because, face it, we couldn't do Stunt Treks without the Leslie Hoffman, right?
Yeah. No, I love Star Trek. I love talking about Star Trek. I mean, so definitely say hello.
And they can find out. Also, if fans are interested in autographed pictures, they can get a hold of those too at the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page as well. I forgot to mention that. Leslie has several different pictures that are available, and she can sign them to Joe, to John, to Jim, whatever, personalize them for you, and sign whatever you want on them. So head on over there and check that out as well. So thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight, Leslie, and doing some Trek talking. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, always a pleasure.
And we'll be back next week for another show. Maybe we'll squeeze in Planet of the Apes. I don't know. But we'll definitely be back. And get a Planet of our Apes in there. Anyways, I'm your host, Uncle Jim, and I want to say thank you to each and every one of you listening around the globe, because Star Trek is truly a global phenomenon. We have listeners in Ireland and Germany and all around the globe, so thank you to all of you guys for listening. And I just want to say to try to be safe, stay safe, be good to each other, and hailing frequencies are now closed. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Let's see what's out there.